Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am coming off of the homeowner's week from hell.
Oh, no.
But other than that, it's all good.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No. Nah.
Such as?
The dishwasher leaks, and you think you just have to repair the floors, and then you find out your cabinets are water-soaked and moldy. Yeah, it's one thing after the next. And then I went to prepare the shower, and the cartridge was stuck. It's been fun.
Sounds like a great time. We're sorry about that, Corey. Hopefully we can make these next 15 minutes just a great time for you as we do every week. Your reaction?
No, I will make this a great time for you.
I knew that.
You're welcome.
I knew
you're
that.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Corey, it is finally done. Your reaction to DeAndre Hopkins, the newest member of the Tennessee Titans. What does this do for this offense and this team in your mind?
Well, first off, I wanted to climb to a mountaintop because I didn't have a microphone and yell, "I told you so," to everybody in the world. Okay? This made way too much sense on both sides. All right? So this was not surprising at all. And so, it's a move Hopkins needed to make financially and performance-wise. I mean, if he wants to go and have a chance to win a division, play with a competent quarterback and actually be, somewhat fairly compensated, this is the right move for him. And for the Titans, it was, the way they handled that position in the offseason, this looked like kind of their all-or-nothing play. Maybe they would have been okay without him. I'm glad we don't have to find out.
Yeah, do you believe that, Corey? Do you believe that, now you go back to, the draft pressers? Because they did refer to the possibility of some guys they were looking at drafting, and we know they moved up, and so they missed out on kind of that run on receivers in, the third round. But do you believe that on the last day of the draft that in Mike Vrabel's head he was thinking DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I do. I've said that for months, that I think that, the relationships with he and Kelly have with Hopkins, the relationship with Monty Austinfort, knowing that he was going to become available, knowing that they could give him the targets that he was going to need, and, also talking about creating cap space, having Rand and his guys create the cap space that they were going to need, indicating they were going to go out and get somebody who costs some money. So, look, all the pieces were in place, and this was the only thing it spelled out to me. And, so that's why when, he left here and he left New England without a deal, my whole thought was is he was leveraging the Titans for more money by going to New England. Because regardless of what they think in New England, Mac Jones is not better than Ryan Tannehill, okay? He's just not. And the Patriots' chances of winning the division are slim at best. So none of that dissuaded me. I was just, there's what the national media and the fans want, and then there's what reality is. They want the Patriots to be relevant. They want DeAndre Hopkins to go play with the Chiefs for $2 or $3 million a year. That's not reality, okay? Those things aren't reality. Reality isn't sexy to them, and so they try to, dismiss it. I also love the whole notion from Chiefs and Patriot fans now that they didn't get him that he's washed. He's washed. He's washed. You wanted him yesterday, but now he's washed. I mean, there's a lot of layers to this onion.
Corey, what do you think this does for this Titans offense? How big of an impact do you think this has? How differently do you view the Titans offense with him coming in?
Well, I view it a lot differently because now it gives them a legitimate target on every play. Look, he's another guy. You talk about differences between the Titans and the Patriots. The Titans have guys that you have to prepare for now. They've got Derrick Henry. You have to prepare for him. You've got Jeffrey Simmons and Kevin Byard. You have to prepare for them. Maybe Treylon Burks becomes a guy you have to prepare for. But DeAndre Hopkins is another guy you have to prepare for every snap. So he's going to make those other guys better by the attention that he grabs, number one. Number two, he gives Ryan Tannehill a target who does not have to be open to throw the football to. And on third down, that's really important when the heat is on, okay? And, we don't know how quickly this line's going to come together, if it's going to come together at all. And so Ryan Tannehill knows there's some place he can go if he's in trouble, and he has a guy who he is very confident, or should be, is going to bail him out. You know, I think it's good to move the chains a couple times a game because you know you can get to him on third down.
Treylon Burks right now should be feeling what?
Oh, I think he should be feeling good. Because number one, it's another sign that the Titans are going to throw the football more, because they're not going to pay him $13 to $16 million a year to come in and block. You know, they've got to throw the football. It should create more big play opportunities for Treylon Burks. Well, and it takes some of the pressure. I mean, can you imagine the pressure on Treylon Burks to produce every week this season if he was out there with the cast of characters that he was going to go out there with? I mean, you'd be looking at him every week going, dude, you got to put up 100. And now he doesn't have to be that guy. Now he can just play, and he's got a guy who he can legitimately learn from. Talk about him being a physical receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. How many times have we bemoaned the push-off that wasn't been called with him? And, you know, he can teach, if he wants to, Treylon, you know, some of the tricks of the trade. So I think it's all a win for Treylon Burks.
Corey Curtis with us here on Robbie and Rex Row. What do you think this means for Derrick Henry? And I guess the question is, how much of a tangible impact do you think it has to help him maybe relieve some of the pressure that he's going to see, whether it's the amount of eight-man boxes, whether it's just the attention that other teams might have to play with DeAndre Hopkins? How much do you think this helps Derrick Henry heading into this year?
All right, well, for all of my, you know, blithering on about this offense and the possibility of passing more and doing those things and relieving pressure, I am going to stack the box and stop Derrick Henry until they tell me I have to do something else. So, now this gives the Titans the opportunity to try to do that. Now, will they? That's the big question. We think they're going to, but they're going to have to prove it. You know, so I would expect when the season starts, when we kick off, who's it with the Saints, week one, you know, I expect to see 8-9 guys in that box waiting for number 22. Look, I expect fewer carries for Henry this year, not because they don't want to give him the ball, but I think he and the entire offense, if it's more balanced, can be more productive. And also you want to get Tajay Spears involved in the offense as well with his speed as well. So it could be a few less touches for him, but hopefully not facing the arsenal that he normally faces on the other side of the field. But I think it's going to take a few weeks if that's what they're going to do to prove it.
Corey, we know Hopkins missed the last two games last year, you know, as things were just totally pointless with the Cardinals with a reported knee injury. But he did have the 6-game PED suspension. He did have a torn MCL the year before. He had a hamstring the year before. He's in his 30s. What's the concern level on him being available and him not being a Julio-like story 2 years later?
You know, that is always a concern. I think their stories are a little bit different because Julio had like a 10-year track record of having a quad injury and not practicing, or a hamstring and not practicing. You know, for Hopkins, it's been he had the practice issues with Bill O'Brien, which were notorious, but Mike Vrabel was there for some of that. So he's got to know what he's in for. But look, whenever you run into the guys this age, you've got to wonder if they're breaking down or not. Now, like you said, last year he missed 6 games because of the PED suspension. And then he missed 2 games, whether it be opting out or an injury or whatever. But whatever it was, if his knee was hurt, I don't think it was bad enough. Have we heard anything about an off-season surgery or anything like that? I mean, it sounds to me like he got through last year relatively healthy. He averaged 8 catches for 80 yards with Colt McCoy at quarterback. I mean, so he had to be doing, you know, something right. So I think based on his performance last year, I feel better about that. My initial reaction when this all happened was, oh my God, no. And then when I looked more and more into it, I felt better about it.
So how do you think the Houston fans are feeling today? And what do you think they're going to feel like when they wear those beautiful throwback jerseys this year? I'm looking forward to it.
I guess they'll be better. I don't know. I mean, look, Houston, DeAndre Hopkins didn't trade himself. The Houston fans didn't trade him. Bill Hopkins traded him for a bag of Doritos and some balls. All right? So that wasn't Hopkins' fault. It wasn't the fans' fault. They should not be upset, in my estimation, with DeAndre Hopkins at all. And they should not be upset about the Oiler throwbacks or any of it, because they had the chance to work with Bud Adams on a stadium, and they did not. All right? So they just need to look in the mirror and say, we blew it. All right? We blew it, and we have one playoff victory since they left. All right? Again, look in the mirror. Whose fault is it?
You have to save that audio for Titans Texans
week. That's right.
Get them riled up.
Looking
in Houston.
Forward to that. That's right, Corey.
That's right. I've already got all the Patriot fans upset. I might as well get a whole other fan base.
Just keep them coming.
If you'd like to rip the Lions, now would be a good time.
That's a good time. That's right.
I love the Lions. Come on, I hate the uniforms,
Almighty
but I love the Lions.
That will not yield.
Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you next week.
You know, if you're lucky. If you're lucky.
That's true.
We'll see.
We'll have to wait in great anticipation.
See, Joe, are you going to be at the Grand Hyatt today?
Yes.
We should have a media competition. It could be like Survivor, and the last one who finally finds his way into the Grand Hyatt gets voted off out of the building.
Oh, the Rex Road will intentionally show up last if that's the case.
We tried getting over there to pick up our credentials yesterday, and it was a disaster. And then the car died. I mean, it just could not have gone any worse.
Jeez.
Wow.
Sounds like a great week you've had.
Yeah, seriously, man. Oh, you're on a run.
Been super. If you see me coming, just run the other direction.
Corey, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Later, fellas.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans signing DeAndre Hopkins, 615-737-1025. Michael on YouTube says, guys, we're not talking D-Hop this morning? What are we doing? Come on. We spent a whole lot of time talking about DeAndre Hopkins this morning.
Yeah, so, I'd say we've most of us talked about DeAndre Hopkins.
we'll have more of DeAndre Hopkins next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. So, Corey, it is finally done. Your reaction to DeAndre Hopkins, the newest member of the Tennessee Titans. What does this do for this offense and this team in your mind?
Well, first off, I wanted to climb to a mountaintop because I didn't have a microphone and yell, I told you so, to everybody in the world, okay? This made way too much sense on both sides, all right? So this was not surprising at all. And so, you know, it's a move Hopkins needed to make financially and performance-wise. I mean, you know, if he wants to go and have a chance to win a division, you know, play with a competent quarterback and actually be, you know, somewhat fairly compensated, this is the right move for him. And for the Titans, it was, I mean, the way they handled that position in the offseason, this looked like kind of their all-or-nothing play. I mean, you know, maybe they would have been okay without him. I'm glad we don't have to find out.
That was Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us in the last segment discussing the signing of DeAndre Hopkins by the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. So the Titans bringing in DeAndre Hopkins, 2 years, $26 million, worth up to 32 with incentives, a $12 million base this year, worth up to $15 million. We'll see what the guaranteed money is. But Joe, what do you make of the deal, first off, and the contract, the money that goes along with it, and what do you think this does for the Titans offense? How does this transform how you view this group heading into this year?
It might actually be fun to watch.
There is that.
It might actually be a fun offense to watch. Now, granted, we've only had 1 year of sort of, dreading watching them, and it was worse than you would have imagined because Taylor Lewan got hurt and, you know, just they were bad up front. But, my gosh, it was it bad. And it's just the swings, you know, for the most part, the Titans have been pretty consistent defensively under Vrabel, the 2020 season being the lone exception. But for the most part, you know, different DCs, but they've been solid. And at times, they've been able every year to come up with some performances, even in that bad year, like against the Ravens in the playoffs. like you can count, there's a certain level of reliability with the defense. The offense has been as all over the place, I swear.
Yeah.
Like this Titans offense since Vrabel took over as head coach. The swings have been so wild, none greater than in one season in 2019, but think about how lethal they were in 20, how awful they were in 22. And now they got a chance to come back to the land of the living and score some touchdowns and like maybe average 20-plus points a game.
Maybe score hallelujah a few in the second half.
Hallelujah for – yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Score a TD in the second half maybe here or there. I mean, for Titans fans, but also just for anybody who watches the Titans, you now may be entertained. So how much does it impact the bottom line? It might impact it significantly. I don't know, but it gives them – the ceiling is higher. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, and I think this makes a big difference for the offense. That's why I think the deal was so crucial to get done. And, you know, heading into this conversation, we talked about it in the month and a half or 3 years or however long we've been talking about DeAndre Hopkins. I've lost count. But it made sense to me to spend the money on him just because – We talked about earlier, if you're going to go back with Ryan Tannehill and you're going to go back with Derrick Henry and you're going to run those guys back for one more year, why would you not try to be as good as you can possibly be? And look, I don't know that DeAndre Hopkins is going to work out. We may get 7 games in and he may be washed up or he may be hurt, and we're talking about, once again, the graveyard of Titans receivers. I mean, you know, that very well could happen. But I also think there's a chance that he comes in and he's productive as he's been – throughout his entire career to this far, to this point, and that he really helps this Titans offense. More than anything, I look at the receiving room now, and I feel so much better about a starting, let's say they have 3 wide receivers on the field. How much better do you feel about Burks, Phillips, Hopkins than you felt about Burks, Phillips, and Chris Moore, or Burks, Phillips, and NWI? Like, to me, it makes a big difference.
A lot.
I mean, you feel a lot better about it, and look, those guys are still going to play, and they're going to get on the field from time to time. But like Chris Moore is like a fourth wide receiver. NWI is like a fourth wide receiver. And now that they're in those roles, I think that's going to be really beneficial for this team. So I really like not only what he could bring to the table individually himself, but I like where he slots everybody else in, and that's why I don't really have a problem with the deal and the money part of it either.
Oh, no. Not our money.
No.
Spend the freaking money. You have to. You're in a position where you have to. They had to have a better deal than anybody else. And so the aggression, everything that they did here, you know, good for them. And it is the first, I guess, big score for Rand Carthon as GM. Looking at Matt Bone, ESPN, had a little kind of breakdown on Hopkins as a player. Mike Kernan retweeted this. So a couple things of note. You know, savvy route runner, we all know all that. High-end ball skills, inside-outside flex. Declining play speed at the third level. Average catch and run ability, but volume target / chain mover who can produce in the quick passing game. Separates on curls, comebacks, in-breakers. Wins on boundary fades. You know, it's like you saw. I mean, he is going to be an outlet, I think, a very popular target for Ryan Tannehill. I think he's going to be the most targeted receiver. I think he's going to have the most catches on the team. I'm not sure he'll have the most receiving yardage. If it works out well for them, you know, it's again, like 85 for 1,000 type season for him, about 11 a catch. And then Burks is more in the 14, 15 a catch and also gets to 1,000 this year. That's your dream scenario.
Yep.
To go with Derrick Henry, productive year. And then, you know, I'm putting all these numbers together, presuming some level of competence on the offensive line. But he is, like Corey said, like Corey Curtis said, you throw the ball to him and he's covered. And he can win. He can get the 50-50 balls at a much higher rate than 50-50. And that shouldn't be changing now, even as he ages and gets a little slower.
Brad in Clarksville on the text line says, forget the money. Would you have rather signed D-Hop or Odell Beckham Jr.? I thought about this before at this stage of both their careers, because OBJ is coming off 2 torn ACLs. Now, he tore the ACL the first time. He came back, played great, and then tore it again, and we've not seen him since then. And then there is the Hopkins stuff at 31 years old, the PEDs, and the injuries toward the back part of his time in Arizona there. So what do you make of that question from Brad? Regardless of the money, who'd you rather have,
D-Hop or OBJ?
I'd go Hopkins at this point. I just have to worry so much. As well as Beckham was playing before the second tear. Yeah, again, both these guys getting older, getting slower, but Hopkins' game should be able to survive that a little bit more. Beckham's not nearly as well. And also, I feel like Beckham also is just – he's just can be like a loose cannon. The only thing I know about Hopkins, again, we had Charles come on a few weeks ago and say he's a, quote, like, different kind of guy. Okay, yeah. So maybe he isn't, like, obsessed with football. And he doesn't love to practice, which makes him, you know, like a human person. Being. Yeah. Yes. I got nothing else that I've seen or heard or read about him being, like, any kind of, like, disruptive presence or anything. So I think on multiple fronts, I'd go Hopkins.
Well, and we talked about this last week with Vrabel and how he viewed Julio Jones and kind of reading between the lines. It never really felt like Vrabel was convinced that Julio Jones was what he, I guess, cut from the same cloth of what he wanted there. I mean, they're not making this move for Hopkins if Vrabel doesn't think that Hopkins is that guy, right? I mean, based on not only the power structure that's changed since then, but just, you know, the experience with Julio Jones, like the Titans are not doing this if Vrabel doesn't feel pretty strongly that DeAndre Hopkins brings those things to the room.
Yeah, I assume the first time Vrabel will talk about this, unless the Titans do something this week, maybe they'll do something this week, but if not, it'll be a week from tomorrow when they open camp. I still remember, you know, John Robinson made that deal. It was kind of obvious, like, Vrabel was at least leery about it, yep. Including, you know, I talked to Nick Saban, and, of course, he's like, yeah, we're excited and all stuff, but he was trying to figure out what the heck's up with it. What, all the stuff I've heard, is it true? You know, what's up with this guy? That's not the case. This is 4 years together here. So he knows him. They know each other well. Kim Kelly knows him. I think there's a big difference in that way between this and Julio.
I got an unnamed texter. Unfortunately, we as Tennessee fans have seen this scenario one too many times. Tennessee is where receivers go to die. They come here to get paid and take it easy. Randy Moss, 8 games, 6 catches, 80 yards. Andre Johnson, 8 games, 9 catches, 85 yards. Did have a game winner in that one.
Beat the Lions.
Yeah, he did. Julio Jones, 10 games, 31 catches, 434 yards and a touchdown.
Will DeAndre Hopkins be part of the Titans WRHOF, Washed Receivers Hall of Fame?
Maybe. I mean,
Will tell.
They've got some impressive names in that list. 615-737-1025. What do you make of DeAndre Hopkins signing with the Titans? How much does it change the offense? How much does it change your outlook on what this team can be? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. .025-1063 The Game has your chance to win tickets to Misfits Boxing X Series, 008 boxing matches at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium this Saturday. Text in the keyword boxing to the game text line at 615-737-1025. That's boxing to the text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to be entered to win. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, the signing of DeAndre Hopkins, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Drew, who wants to weigh in. Drew, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
Yes, sir. On DeAndre Hopkins, and I'm glad he's here. Yeah, for those who all be talking about, because I get it. I'm a Titans fan for a long time, and I've seen all the receivers came here and they're not paying out. DeAndre Hopkins is a different beast. This is a whole entire different scenario. Thank you, Rand, Carbon, and Rabel. But I want to also make a comment about these fickle fans from New England and Kansas City. In the national media that wanted D-Hop to go to these teams, but now when he signs here, they're saying that he's washed up. So I just want to get y'all take on that, and I appreciate me calling you.
Yep, thanks for the call, Drew. I appreciate you. I mean, it is – Patriots fans were mad yesterday. There was a lot of bitter Patriots fans, and there was the whole why would he go play for Ryan Tannehill over Mac Jones discussion.
which is just hilarious to me.
Yikes.
There's that one, and then there's the Titans are terrible. Why would he go do that? As if the Patriots are like some juggernaut this year in the AFC East. The national media part of it, it is, even today on ESPN, like they've talked about on Get Up, DeAndre Hopkins signing with the Titans, but the headline they flashed up there was, did the Patriots make a mistake by not signing DeAndre Hopkins? It's like, all right, well, okay.
Let's talk about other teams, yeah. Any team other than the Titans when it comes to the DeAndre Hopkins signing. And then Hopkins, man, does he – I will say this. There's a little bit of A.J. Brown and DeAndre Hopkins' enjoyment of clapping back at people on Twitter, on the Twitter machine.
Bring it on, man.
I'm here for it. Let's see. He said, it's just like a random, Patriots did the right thing. He stinks, whatever. He's washed. So he has a quote. He said, you was on my, and he has a little picture of peanuts. See, athletes, this is why you shake hands with hand sanitizers. You're probably the same one talking bad about Tom when he left too. SMH.
SMH.
How many, I guess I can go answer this for myself, but like how much responding to people last night did he do on Twitter?
I don't know. Social media game strong.
I guess. Is he on Threads, though?
I think so.
Is he? He's on Threads?
I think he is.
Okay. Insta?
Oh, yeah. He's on Insta.
Okay. TikTok? That's your favorite, right?
I don't know if he's on TikTok or not. I need to check.
But he's,
I do like TikTok.
He is. I can't wait till he meets Easton Freeze, and hopefully they can come to an agreement that Easton Freeze was just being sarcastic.
Well, I hope so. Friend of the show, Easton Freeze.
Yeah. So he is on TikTok.
Is he?
I can confirm. Right. He has 1.1 million followers.
I bet he does.
Okay.
Looking forward to maybe a Vrabel, DeAndre Hopkins TikTok collaboration. Could be great.
Yeah. Cooking up some touchdowns.
Probably not.
Chris Anassis, thank God John Robinson traded away A.J. Brown. We wouldn't have had over a month of nail-biting radio talk waiting for D-Hop. That's right, Chris.
Hey.
We needed it.
Got to do what you got
to
do.
Like I said to open the show, I'm sad because now, what are we going to do? I mean, now we can talk about what he'll do, but I liked it better when we were guessing where he was going to go.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Y'all left off some serious names, man. Eric Mould sucked when he was here. Eric Decker sucked when he was here.
All right, but neither one of those two guys are like Randy Moss and Julio Jones.
No. Carl Pickens sucked. There's a good list of players, like proof that this is not going to work. Like, it's so stupid, dude. It's all over my Facebook wall, too. And I'm just like, I'm not going to argue with these people. I would just rather watch this. Because I just go back to when was the last time we saw a football game? And it was the Jaguar game. And like, oh my God, we would have beat them by 40 points if we had DeAndre Hopkins. Or anybody on defense. Our defense is all broken, too. So I'm not going to keep reliving that. I'm so excited that football is like a week and a half away. We'll start to see these people on the field. But as a Titans, as a Jaguars fan, you should see this. They know. They know what happened that last game, and they know that adding him is a really bad thing for them. So I'm excited.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it.
Are you listening?
Adam getting those Todd premature Jacksonville shots in the Jags fans. I like him.
Todd Jacksonville, hope you're listening. Are you worried? You scared? You worried, buddy? How about Indy Ben? Indy Ben?
Haven't heard from him today.
Yeah. I want to hear how Hopkins is washed.
We've heard from some people that Hopkins is washed. Nothing from Indy Ben as of yet. Look, there's other people offering like wide receiver suggestions of people that haven't paid out. I mean, Thigpen, Givens have been brought up on the text line. Eric Moulds.
Oh, Yancey Thigpen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Moulds is a pretty good one. He was a very good player in Buffalo.
He was. Now, there's a difference between Randy Moss and Eric Moulds.
Yes. Well, same with Carl Pickens.
And Eric Moulds.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Hopkins, by the way.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, so in actual Hall of Famers.
Right.
You got actual Hall of Famers. You got Moss and Johnson, for sure. Right?
Well, and Julio's going to be one.
Is that? And Julio's going to be one, and Hopkins is going to be one. So will this be the Mount Rushmore of washed receivers? And Hopkins is the final face. All the arguments.
Andre Johnson's not in yet, by the way.
He's going
to
be, right?
He has to be. I mean, you would think, right?
Without looking at his numbers right now, he was excellent for a long time in this league. He was elite for a long time.
He should get in the Hall of Fame for the fight with Cortland Finnegan for nothing else.
When did
he had 14,000 yards and 70 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He's going to get in.
Yeah. So all of the arguments for Hopkins right now, and they all make sense, I said every single one of those things about Julio Jones 2 years ago, so I just have to be honest about it.
For sure.
I was like, yeah. And it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, guys, I know. I know this and this and this happened in the past, but – and it's still true. It doesn't have anything to do with today.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think there are some people out there, and I guess, like, part of me gets it, but the other part of me thinks it's stupid. Like, this idea that, well, you can't do this because – you've tried this before with Randy Moss, and you've tried it with Andre Johnson, and you've tried it with Julio Jones, and it hasn't worked. And I mean, I guess I understand the thought process there, but that doesn't mean that it's never going to work. Like DeAndre Hopkins, look, maybe he does come in, and it's pretty clear that he just can't run anymore, and he can't get open, and he's nowhere near the same player, and he's nowhere near worth the money that the Titans just gave him. I have no idea. But I also think you can't operate as a franchise based on, well, you know, back in 2010, we had Randy Moss in here, and it didn't go overly well, so we can't do that anymore. Or Julio Jones, it didn't work out with him because he was hurt all the time. We can't do this anymore. Like, you got to try.
If Hopkins totally flames out, and it's just add it to the list, add him to the Hall of Fame, add him to the Rushmore, whatever, in 2031, I'm still going to be in favor of them signing Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, that's right. Justin, that's come on in.
Give it a shot. At some point – you know, you just have to look at the situation on its own, in a vacuum, and all that other stuff doesn't matter.
Well, and, you know, I keep going back to the Julio comparison, but the Titans didn't give up anything to get him. That's the other thing here. Yeah. I mean, there's no trade that they brought in to get him. So, look, I think some people will probably take the DeAndre Hopkins thing a little bit too far. Like, we've heard from some people today that think that this is the difference in like 3 or 4 or 5 wins for the Titans. And I just don't know that I can get there. I mean, that's a pretty heavy difference in the NFL when you're talking about that. But if he helps you win another game or two, I mean, isn't that worth it? I mean, think about how close this division could be.
It could be the division.
That could be the division. If he helps you win another game or another 2 games that you wouldn't have otherwise won, I mean, that's well worth it if you're the Titans at this point.
The finale is home against Jacksonville, right?
I believe so, yes.
I mean, I feel better about the possibility that that is for something. Because wouldn't it be fun if that was for the division? I went through both team schedules earlier, and I had the Jags still finishing a couple games ahead of the Titans. Maybe now that brings it to that game, which would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
We're already talking about January.
We did. Austin says, there's no way this could be a bad deal for the Titans. Only committing 2 years for a veteran wide receiver that's still in his low 30s, and he can still play. This is a smart financial decision and a smart football decision. D-Hop is a different type of receiver than all those other guys. He doesn't rely on speed. He relies on skill. It's a big difference, which is why he'll be successful if they throw the ball his way enough. That's from Austin on the text line.
I mean, there is a way.
There is a way.
There's a way.
I mean, if he goes out there and he plays 6 games this year, right, it's not a great deal for the Titans.
Right. Yeah, if he's not available.
If he stays healthy.
Right. If healthy. Hashtag. There's a good question on the text line that I want to get to after the break about the Hopkins-Julio comparison.
We will do that coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Also, have a pair of tickets to give away to see John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on July 25th. Be the fifth caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater on July 25th. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. The game summer ticket tour is headed to Bringle Smoking Oasis, located at 4901 Centennial Boulevard this Friday afternoon from 2 to 6. Come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free sounds, preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also get signed up for the grand prize, which is Titans tickets, preds tickets, and the 501 Club, and a 2-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to sound waves. Black Tie Moving delivers the game summer ticket tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Joe, there was a text you wanted to get to on the text line on the DeAndre Hopkins front that drew your interest.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me.
You're
Ben says, hasn't Hopkins been way more productive in the last 2 years when he did play compared to Julio's last 2 years in Atlanta? So first of all, the year before each guy got here, Hopkins, 9 games, 64 catches, 717 yards, 3 touchdowns. Julio Jones, Nine games, 51 catches, 771 yards, three touchdowns, almost identical.
Yep.
Actually, Jones, before that, was on an incredible run of six straight years with at least 1,400 yards and just absolute dominant play. So 2019, 99 catches, 1,394 and six touchdowns, 14-1 a catch. You know, he was tremendous before that one last year. So I, 2 years ago, I'm like, it looks like there's a lot in the tank still. I thought so. I was wrong. Hopkins, actually, if you go back to 21, he also only played in 10 games, 42 catches, 572. He did have eight touchdowns. But that year, torn MCL. That year, hamstring. So really, it's been two straight years of disrupted seasons. Now, before that, he had a four straight season run, you know, 1,400, 1,165, 1,572, 1,378, dominant football. Like when Bill O'Brien traded him, I remember we screamed about it on this show.
We did.
In disbelief. I said and believed he was the best receiver in the NFL at that point. It has been two straight years with injuries, PED suspension, et cetera, that have disrupted him. So, I mean, there's fair cause for concern and trepidation about how it's going to unfold here. That doesn't mean you don't do this. You have to do this. But I'm just saying, we're going to have to find out.
What's the minimum amount of games that he'd have to play this year for you to feel good about this deal? Production aside, because we'll see what that looks like. But I feel like if he's on the field, there's a certain level of production he's going to bring to the table. What's the minimum amount of games that you would want to see if you're a Titans fan?
16.
16 out of 17?
He can miss one. You're allowed to miss one.
No, I think my answer would be 12. 13.
Yeah, I was going to say, right in there. At least a dozen games, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking, so he played 10 2 years ago. He played 9 last year. Like you said, PED suspension, a part of that. So, first off, let's try to avoid that. That'd be great. But
enough suspensions going on.
Yeah, like enough suspensions going on around here. But if you could play 13, 14 games and you were guaranteed that if you're the Titans, I think you'd be okay with that. Like, I mean, look, everybody wants 17, right? 17's a hard, it's a tough bar to get
but
to.
But 4 is possible. So, yeah, you'd probably sign up for that.
Right.
So for the Titans at this point, after the last 2 years,
I look at the offense now with Tim Kelly, the fit there, and then Treylon Burks. I said this earlier in the show. Beyond the obvious of how productive is Hopkins himself going to be with the numbers that he can put up, and we'll see what happens there, what does this mean for Treylon Burks? That's really interesting because Treylon Burks was already incredibly fascinating to me anyway heading into this year, just based on what we saw from him last year, the improvements that we think he could make this year. What's that going to look like now with Hopkins on the other side? That part of it to me is really interesting, and you know, it's important that he stays healthy throughout training camp and gets those reps. I think it's way more important that he gets those than Hopkins gets them in camp. But can he take advantage of this with Hopkins on the other side? And like you said, maybe that is less targets for him. But does that mean bigger plays for Treylon Burks as the year progresses here? You're hoping so.
He should be, and I'm sure he is, giddy about this. This is great. Great news for Treylon Burks. You can't. In this league, if you're the only real threat in a receiver room, it's not going to go well for you. And especially, you know, this team has the questions it has up front. This is a huge development for Treylon Burks. Yeah, I do think that this may result in fewer targets because they don't have to force feed him like they were going to have to before, right? But I think you're going to have some better matchups. You're just going to have more balance across the field. You're going to be less predictable. And, you know, I think that if you also add in, I mean, we think Chig is going to have a big year. He's got to be able to, you know, be on the field in all situations. But if you add in Kyle Phillips doing what he does, and Tyjae Spears, I really think is just a fascinating storyline and someone that they really want to get involved. All of a sudden, Tim Kelly has a lot of options and some ways to mitigate the potential issues up front. You know, the quick passing game, to me, Hopkins can get you 8 yards whenever you want it. And that's a big deal.
And now the big question with the Titans offense beyond, you know, what does Hopkins still have left in the tank is how how limited is this offensive line going to be? I mean, that's the question. We would ask the same question if Nicholas Petit-Frere wasn't suspended for the first six games. But now that he is, I mean, you kind of double down on that question. How limited will the offensive line be, and how equipped is the Titans' offensive skill set now with Tannehill and Henry and Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo and DeAndre Hopkins? How much can you overcome that if your offensive line isn't up to par? That's now the question heading into the year. You're hoping it is up to par, but I have a feeling even if it gets there at some point, it could be a little bit of a slow start for this Titans group.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I would think that right away you'd have better play at left tackle.
I would hope so.
So even if you're just like you upgrade to passable at left tackle, okay, well, that's an upgrade. And, you know, the Petit-Frere suspension is very problematic, of course, and I think that there could be – the next acquisition could be along those lines, you know. Be very interested to see, you know, what the guarantees are on the Hopkins deal, what the cap situation is on the Hopkins deal this year, but they may have to go get someone. Not that there are great options out there. You know, is Jamarco Jones ready? I don't know. Do they bump? I mean, TDs talk about bumping Brunskill out there. Maybe that's the best way. At least then you can keep center to left tackle the same. I think that's important. Center to left tackle has to be the same all year.
I could just tell you I'm way more excited about the Titans offense today than I was this time 24 hours ago.
It's great for us
to move the football.
For those of us who like to watch touchdowns,
maybe be able to score some touchdowns. It would be awesome. I'm way more excited. Like Wes in Clarksville on the text line says, if Hopkins doesn't get targeted, is he going to throw a fit and be a problem? I don't know. He's never really not been targeted when he's been on the football team. I would imagine as long as he's healthy, he'll be targeted here. So I don't anticipate that being a problem. But I'm just excited to see what this means and how this plays out. And I bet Ryan Tannehill is just over the moon today, would be my guess.
All right, it's been a long time since they did anything for him.
It has.
You know. And again, some of the bad stuff has been just injury, but it's been a while. Now, granted, they drafted Burks and Chig last year, but drafting Burks was just like the reaction to the horrible move of trading A.J. Brown.
Hey, Ryan, we're sorry. A.J.'s gone. Here's a rookie for you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
How about that? They finally this gives Tannehill a chance to have a better year to help his career after this, and maybe to help that career after this year continue here.
Yeah, could it?
It's
continue
not
here?
Likely.
Could it be somewhere else?
But if they go to the Super Bowl, then you got to keep them, right?
Well, they go to the Super Bowl if they win it, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. If they win it, if he throws for 400 and they win it, not 350.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll be continuing the coverage on DeAndre Hopkins all day long here on 102.5 The Game. The Chase McCabe Show up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.